We have been discussing a series of lessons in regard to our attitude toward various Bible subjects. Our attitude toward God's Word, our attitude toward the Savior. And of course, if we say that we have the proper attitude in all these areas, we're simply stating that we will do what the Lord tells us to do through His Word. And by so doing, following God's instructions, we declare that we are on the Lord's side. Read with me in Exodus 32 and verse 26. It says, "And Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him." And in the setting of this, what had happened is Moses had been up on the mountain. He had been receiving the commandments. The children of Israel had come to Aaron and said, "Come make us gods." We don't know what's happened to this Moses. He's been up there for a long time. So Aaron began to break off their golden earrings and formed and made a golden calf, and they turned in idolatry to worshiping this golden calf. So God alerted Moses to that, and he said that the people have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them in verse 8. And so Moses comes down and he makes them declare. He makes them declare whose side they will be on. And he said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." What does it mean to be on someone's side? Those here who were on the side of God departed quickly from this idolatrous worship and identified themselves with Moses. We might define the word side as, in regard to a definition, the attitude or activity of one person or group with respect to another. In other words, we use expressions sometimes, one side of an argument. Or we think of a political contest, and there are different sides. There's Democratic, Republican, Independent. There are different types of sides. We think of athletic contests as LSU just played Clemson. You might have been for one of those teams. You might have been on their side. You might have wanted them to obtain victory. But in all things that are physical in nature, we can be for something, we can be against something, or we can remain neutral. Now, that is not the case when it comes to spiritual matters. That is not the case, and that's what Moses wanted to put forward. See, you can be pro or con or neutral when it comes to LSU and Clemson, but when it comes to God, you're either for Him, you're on His side, or you are against Him. Look at Joshua, the 24th chapter, Joshua chapter 24, and look at verse 15, and note what Joshua states here. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said, "I'm going to be on God's side. I'm going to be on the side of the Lord." Now, we realize that people do not always pick the side of the Lord. Even in the Lord's church, it was a problem at Corinth. Go back over, if you would, and we can see that there were Christians in the church at Corinth who were taking other sides than the Lord's. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look there at verse 10 beginning, and we're going to read down through verse 13. And it says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. And Paul asked him the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? The answer to all those is no. What's Paul trying to get them to see? The side they need to be on is the Lord's side. Go over to 1 Corinthians 3 and look at verses 1 beginning, and we'll read down through that. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Paul didn't want them to think that their loyalty belonged to him. Their loyalty belonged to the Lord. So we have to be very careful today. And this causes many problems in the Lord's church today. When men take the side of other men, their loyalty lies to a man instead of taking the side of God and what's revealed to us in the Scripture. We have to be on the Lord's side in order for unity to abound. And God has clearly revealed for us in His Word, so we cannot plead ignorance and say, well, Lord, I didn't know this is what I needed to do in order to be on your side, because it's been clearly revealed for us in the Scriptures. Turn over to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beginning there in verse 15, it says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Everything we need to know about how to be on the Lord's side, He's revealed it to us. He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Scriptures are God's instructions to us. And so we cannot say, Lord, I didn't know in order to be on your side, I had to do this. It's revealed to us in His Word what we need to do. What we need to do. So what is our attitude? We talked about attitude a little bit this morning in our Bible class. We need to have the proper attitude toward the Lord's side. First of all, we need to understand that the Lord has a side. And if I choose His side, what am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to submit my will to your will. I'm going to recognize your authority. I'm going to be willing to obey you. So that's how I display that I am on the Lord's side, by submission and by obedience. Turn over to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and look there, Matthew 28, at verses 18 through 20, and note what Matthew's account of the Great Commission states there. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this next verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So if I'm going to be on the Lord's side, I have to acknowledge, first of all, that He has all authority and I have none. I don't have any authority. I just have a choice whether I'm going to submit to His authority or where I'm going to rebel against His authority. The Lord is the one who is in charge. It's not us. It's not us. So we have to be willing to submit to Him in and observe all things that he has commanded. Not just some of the things I like to observe. I can't just have my little checklist. I have to observe all things that he has commanded in order to be on his side. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Here, Paul, writing to the brethren at Colossae, says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So, do all in his name or by his authority. We are on his side if everything we do by his authority. Everything we do today, we're trying to do by the authority of Jesus Christ. And if you think we're not doing that, you'd be a friend to point that out to us where we're failing to heed the authority of Christ. When we leave the four walls of this building, we live our lives, we're trying to conduct ourselves and heed the authority of Jesus Christ in all things. Who did Jesus say is on his side? Go back over to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. And let's look there in verses 21 through 23. And Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, who does Jesus say is on his side? Those who just call him Lord? See, we can acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and when we leave the four walls of this building, we cease acknowledging that he's Lord, and nothing else he says applies to our life. But it applies to us today on the first day of the week. That's not what Jesus says. He says that we have to be willing to do the will of the Father. So being on the Lord's side is not made evident just because we speak the name of the Lord. It's made evident by our example, by our conduct, by us obeying God, by being a consistent example for others to observe in our life, that we're walking in that light that we talked about this morning in Bible study. Why do we choose the Lord's side? Why should we choose the Lord's side? Or why do we go about choosing the Lord's side? We should do it because we want to express our love, our appreciation for his mercy, for his grace being extended to us. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous." They're not so difficult that we cannot bear them. That's how we prove we love God. That's how we prove we're on his side, is when we keep his commandments. When we display love for God, it's displayed through our obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me," John 14, 15, "keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. So the Lord has a side. Hopefully, we want to be on it. And if we desire to be on it, we must declare that we are on his side. Most people, if they have a side in a game or a contest, I know Les is for the Dallas Cowboys when they play. I know he's on their side. He's a fan of theirs. So we understand this, declaring whose side you are on. Listen to what Jesus says in regard to declaring if we're on his side or not. Turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and look there in Matthew 12 at verse 30. And Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." See, there is no neutral territory in respect to being for or against the Lord. We're going to have to make a declaration in our lives. We're going to have to allow people to know where we stand. We talked about this morning about taking a stand, standing fast, being set for the defense of the gospel. That has to do with us declaring whose side we're on. We're not some secret member of being on the Lord's side. We have to make that confession that we know is spoken of in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before the Father which is in heaven. That denial could just be from the point of view that we don't make a declaration. We never say where we stand. We never say we want to be on the Lord's side. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Again, Jesus teaches here in the Sermon on the Mount in regard to being on the Lord's side, declaring whose side we're on. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." See, we cannot please God by trying to straddle the fence. We're going to have to be on one side or the other. Jesus here says you have to choose God or you have to choose a mammon in regard to that. There's no position of neutrality. No position of neutrality for us to take. Well, what are the consequences if we declare that we're on the Lord's side? What are the consequences going to be if you declare that you're on the Lord's side? Well, there are going to be some consequences in regard to that in our life, because we can no longer conform to this world, as Paul stated in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me back up just a minute. Let me go ahead and go to Romans 12, and then I'll back up to 1 Kings 18, 21. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world." That's a consequence of declaring we're on the Lord's side. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." In 1 Kings 18, 21, Elijah was trying to get the people to understand, how long will you halt between two opinions? He said, if Baal is God, serve him. But if not, serve the living God. Well, how did Elijah prove that he was serving the living God? Remember, they made this fire, and put this wood around the altar, and the prophets of Baal came out, and they prayed for it to come down and be consumed with fire, and it never happened. And then Elijah makes an altar of 12 stones. He puts the wood on those stones. He puts water around it. He puts water around it three times, and then he calls on the name of the Lord, and fire comes down, and it all disappeared. Who was the Lord? Who proved himself to be the Lord? Jehovah God proved himself for Elijah. But the people still had to choose whom they would serve. They had to declare, even seeing the evidence, they had to declare if they were going to be on his side. The same thing with us today. We can see all the evidence. We can see what the scriptures say. We can know what the scriptures teach. But we still have to declare if we're going to be on the Lord's side. We have to make that declaration. And once we declare we're on the Lord's side, then as Paul told the brethren there at Rome, your life is separate. It's distinct from the world. You can't be conformed to the world. You have to be transformed, because you have had a renewing of your mind. Turn over to the book of Titus. Titus, the second chapter, and look at verse 14 there. Notice what Paul here writes to Titus. He says, "Who gave himself for us," speaking of Christ, "that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special," some translations say, "his own peculiar people, zealous for good works." Why are we peculiar? Why are we different than people in the world? Because we're on the Lord's side. We're on the Lord's side, so we can't conform to the world. We've been transformed by the renewing of our mind. We put off the old man and we put on the new. We've had our sins washed away. We have been born again. We're created anew in Christ Jesus. Well, what is involved, if I make this declaration, what is involved in being on the Lord's side? What's involved in being on the Lord's side? Turn over to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew chapter 17. And let's look there beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 5. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.' And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, hear ye him.'" What's involved in being on the Lord's side is that we have said we are going to be willing to hear him. We're going to hear what he has to say, what has been revealed to us through the scriptures. If the Lord says in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, he who does not believe will be damned," I'm not going to say, "Well, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. I don't need to be baptized." See, if we say that, we're not listening. We're not listening to what Jesus has to say. Paul said in Galatians 3:26 and 27, "For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." See, if we say baptism isn't necessary, we're saying putting on Christ isn't necessary. We have to hear what the scriptures have to say. And then we have to be ready. We have to be set for the defense of the gospel that we spoke about this morning in Bible study. Turn to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and look at verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So if we're on the Lord's side, if we hear what the Lord has to say, then we're going to support his cause. We're going to support the truth. We're going to support the doctrine of Christ. We're going to support the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be, as Paul said he was this morning in Philippians 1 and verse 17, we're going to be set for the defense. He says, "But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed or set for the defense of the gospel." We need to be ready, as Jude states, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Are we willing, are we able to contend for the faith? That's what's involved in being on the Lord's side, that we can be able to contend for the faith. Involved in being on the Lord's side is loving the church and supporting the work of the church, being involved in the work and the worship of the church. Go to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and look at verse 42. It says, "And they," and this is the apostles along with the 3,000 souls that were added to them from verse 41, "and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Could you tell that they were involved in being on the Lord's side by their actions? The answer is yes. It says that they continued steadfastly. In other places, it talks about that they continued. Verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And verse 46 says, "So continuing daily with one accord." Everyone who's being saved was continuing daily in being involved in being on the Lord's side. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? We see here they proved they were on the Lord's side by steadfastly being involved in the apostles' doctrine, that's the teaching, fellowship, giving, breaking of bread, and prayers. They were involved in these things. Does our attendance support that we're on the Lord's side? Or when we come and attend, does our preparation for our Bible classes show that we are on the Lord's side? When we give of our means on the first day of the week, does that show that we are on the Lord's side? So when we leave the four walls of this building, how we conduct ourselves, the example we are to other people, does that show we are on the Lord's side? See, all of these things are inclusive in being involved in being on the Lord's side. And if I am on the Lord's side, then I need to be committed to doing my part. And if you are on the Lord's side, you need to be committed to doing your part. I can't do your part for you. You cannot do your part for me. But we can all do our part for the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, if you are on the Lord's side, then you must cooperate with the Lord and with others on His side by doing your part. No one else can do what you can do, your part. No one else can do your part for you. Only you can do your part. Now, if we all individually are doing our part, what does the Lord promise will happen to the church? What does He say there? He says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church will grow if we're all doing our part. If we're all doing our part. You remember the talents, the parable of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. We said they different amounts were given. They had varying abilities. They all had the same amount of time to do their part. They all had the same amount of time to do their part. And that's what we need to be engaged in, is doing our part. It doesn't matter where we fall in 5, 2, or 1 talent. That doesn't make a difference. Just do our part in regard to that. Now, we might ask, well, what can one expect from being on the Lord's side? Well, there are a lot of spiritual blessings in regard to being on the Lord's side. But as we talked about last Sunday night, our attitude toward trials, tribulations, and persecutions, sometimes we're going to have adversity in our life. And if you go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, Paul warned Timothy, he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you declare you're on the Lord's side, don't think, well, I won't ever have any problems. There still could be problems in regard to our life, these trials, these tribulations, these persecutions that can arise in our life. Go to the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, and we need to realize that even in the face of persecution, we'll experience joy and satisfaction and inward peace. In Mark 10, verse 29 and 30, the scriptures state, and Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and for the gospel's. He's saying there's no one who's declared they're on my side who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. In other words, if we declare we're on the Lord's side, we're going to receive a reward. We're going to receive the reward in eternity. And being on the Lord's side means we have the ability to receive eternal life. And we cannot receive eternal life if we are not on the Lord's side. Go to 1 John 2 And look at verse 25. It says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Eternal life. Now, remember in the judgment parables and judgment scenes in Matthew chapter 25, it depicts two sides, right? Some being on the right and some being on the left. Those who were on the right were on the Lord's side. Those who were on the left were not. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? I cannot answer that question for you. You cannot answer that question for me. But in 2 Timothy 4, in verses 7 and 8, Paul reminded Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only. Did Paul choose to be on the Lord's side? He did. He said, but not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All who've chosen to be on the Lord's side can receive the same reward, what Paul's saying. That we can receive eternal life. We can receive this crown of righteousness. And he received it because he fought the good fight. He finished the race. And he kept the faith. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? We need to issue the challenge of Joshua. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No one can make that choice for you. But you can choose to be on the Lord's side. You can choose to render obedience to Christ. You can choose to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You as a child of God can choose to be faithful. You can choose to serve the Lord. You can choose to be a good influence and exhibit good conduct before others day by day. If there's any way we can aid you and assist you in rendering obedience to the gospel, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.